because there are a lot, but it never finished. That's why we are actually praying for school to start and so on, so that everything we skim through surface one. Yeah. So you say, wow, there's a lot. It's only very surface. Okay, the five essential part about the mystery of Israel. Okay, turn to me to Romans 11, verse 29. The first one, the call of Israel is irrevocable. The call of, next week I'll explain even in greater detail, what is the call of God for Israel? Okay, in fact, later I'll run through Romans 9. Yeah, do you know that we always say God make the old covenant with Israel, new covenant with Gentile church, right? That's not true. Go and read Jeremiah 31. When Jesus came at the upper room, you know, we all say the church was born. They're all Jewish. All the 12 disciples were Jewish. Gentiles haven't even existed yet. The first Gentile that was saved that created such a dispute was who? Cornelius, isn't it? So who does God make a covenant with? Israel. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Go and read. Satan understood more than us. That's why throughout ages, Satan seek to totally exterminate, not even persecute, totally exterminate Jewish. If there's no one Jew alive on this earth, if you understand the power of covenant, the covenant sees. The covenant sees. Satan understood. That's why all the more we need to stand and pray for Israel. It's pertaining to our salvation too. And when you understand that, then you understand why Hitler hated the Jew. Do you know that it's totally irrational, man? This guy hated the Jew. If you read his story, if you watch YouTube about Hitler, he has to be... It's crazy. 6 months before Hitler knew that, they knew that Germany is going to lose the war. You know what Hitler say? I can't remember what's the name of the YouTube. He make a speech telling Germany, say that we are now going to channel all our resources to totally exterminate the Jewish people. Makes no sense. That's why I always say, you know, this issue about Israel around the world is not a political issue, not a social issue. You will never fully understand unless you look from the perspective of the Bible and redemption plan. Because Israel is the vehicle that God is going to use. Satan understood it more than the Gentile church. So that's why we need to stand with her. It's going to happen again. Because Jesus cannot come back unless Israel invite her. And it has to be one place. Jerusalem. Do you know where is the throne of Jesus after he comes back a second time? Not Houston, Texas. Not Singapore. It has to be Jerusalem. And God has no second plan. No contingent. You know, we all army. You know, some of y'all go to NS, National Service, always have contingency plan. Plan B. If rain, how, and so on. God does not need a contingency plan. He insists. The king will be Jesus. His throne will be at Jerusalem. No second thoughts about it. And Satan knows. But of course, Satan didn't realize that he's more brilliant. Actually, he's more brilliant is an understatement. He's far, 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 far more brilliant. When you understand that, you understand what this issue of Israel is about. It's a spiritual issue. And Satan knows. Satan wants to totally exterminate. If there is no one Jew, the nation of Israel no longer exists at that piece of land. Jesus cannot come back. It's as precise as that. And that's why it's a brilliant of God. No, he's going to make this whole thing happen. Okay. So the first essential part of the mystery of Israel, the call of Israel is irrevocable. The call of Israel is irrevocable. Romans 11 verse 29 says what? Read this. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. This verse, no, we can use it for our own calling. But specifically, it's in the Romans 9, 10, 11 is in context of what? Israel. It's talking about the call of God for Israel is irrevocable. Understand this. There's no such thing as replacement theory. I know some people get offended. The replacement theory is from the pit of hell. It's going to trick the church. so that we also stand against Israel. No, the call of Israel is irrevocable. Verse 29. Because God has not permanently written off Israel's original national calling. The church has not replaced Israel. If we think so, we are grossly mistaken. We are not standing on God's side. Israel will fulfill the divine call of God for her. Not now, but primarily through the millennium kingdom. That's the book of Isaiah I share with you probably next week or subsequently. You know what the entire Romans 11 is about? The entire Romans chapter 11 is written to assure and to teach. No, first to assure the Jewish people. Second is to teach the Gentile church of Israel calling. God has not written her off. Verse 1 to 10 is basically this. Her rejection of Jesus is not total. That's verse 1 to 10. Her rejection of Jesus is not total. It's a doctrine of remnant. Throughout ages, there's always at least a few Jews who acknowledge the Messiah. Okay? And Romans 11 to 32. Basically, Paul says this. Her rejection by Jesus is not final. Got it? Verse 1 to 10 is her rejection of Jesus is not total. Verse 11 to verse 32 is about her rejection by Jesus is not final. That's why it's called a mystery. It's just for a season. Somehow God knows how to do it. That's why it's amazing. Okay, turn to me to verse 1. Romans 11, which talk about the rejection of Jesus is not total. It's a doctrine of remnant. There's always a remnant of Jewish people who believe in Jesus. Do you know right now there's about 250,000 Messianic Jewish? You know what it means by Messianic Jewish? That means they call upon the name of Jesus. Jesus is their Messiah. 250. Do you know for the last 10 years, the salvation of Jewish people grow at the rate of 50%. Its revival is happening, but we are not even near yet. That's why you keep praying, until everybody gets saved. Singapore has, if I'm not wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, Singapore has about 200 Jewish people. Is it correct? I think it's about there. We are not sure. I heard the last time, about 200. We better pray for them to be saved. Let's pray for them to be saved. 200, you say 200 is easy. No, there is this blindness that is upon them. So we got to pray. Okay, Romans 11 verse 1 said this. Rejection of Jesus, her rejection of Jesus is not total. There's always a remnant of Jewish people who believe in Jesus. Verse 1 says what? I say then, has God cast away his people? No, I love Romans 9, 10, 11 because one of the common phrase that Paul keeps saying is certainly not. Okay, read through. Many times God said, Paul said, certainly not. It's like Paul is saying, you are grossly mistaken. You got it all wrong. Paul said this, I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. That's why Paul said this. Listen, look at me. I'm a Jew. I believe in Jesus. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Okay, verse 2. God has not cast away his people from whom he foreknew. That's why now he called Elijah to just prove a point of the remnant. Because remember Elijah, after he has this confrontation with King Ahab at Mount Carmel, he ran away and Jezebel came and he got so depressed and said, God, is there any other prophet? There's no one left. And God said, there's another 7,000. I mean, imagine Elijah also got depressed. So I'm encouraged. There's a great prophet called down fire from heaven, can get depressed, then I got hope. Okay, never mind. That's not another issue. Yeah. God has not cast away his people from me, whom he foreknew. Or do you know that what the scriptures say of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophet and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. Listen to what God say. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Talk about the remnant, okay? The remnant. And verse 5. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Remember I said earlier, if today there's no one Jew, the covenant will cease. That's why we need to understand God did not make a new covenant with the Gentile church. The Gentile church did not even exist at Acts 2. Okay? Second, turn me to Romans 11, verse 11. The second about this call of Israel. Rejection by Jesus is not final. Talking about her national calling. It's not final. It has not, you know, transferred to the Gentile church. We only have a temporary ownership. We are only caretaker. Eventually, we will pass back to Israel. It's always her call. So don't hold it too tight. Israel will take over. That's why Romans 11, verse 11 and 12 is so vital. Because Paul is actually saying that her call, God's call for her, is not written off. That's why he used the three times the word for. Okay, I want to explain to you. Let's turn to verse 11. Verse 11. Three times he used the word for, but in two different meanings. One is talking about she stumbled in sin and unbelief. Another one talking about she temporarily losing her leadership role of God's salvation plan. It's kind of like, it's give, the gospel has gone to the Gentile. Okay, verse 11 said this. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Talking about stumble in sin and unbelief that they should fall. The word fall, if you want to circle the word fall, three times Paul mentioned the word fall. The word fall is not talking about God totally reject them, is that they have not permanently lose their national calling. Have they stumbled that they should fall? That's why Paul was very strong. Certainly not. No way. You don't understand. Certainly not. But through their fall, again, talk about their role in spreading the redemptive plan of God. This word fall. Through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has now come to Gentile. Okay, you must understand. Underline if you want to. I don't know whether iPad, iPhone, you can underline. Oh, you can. Okay. See, I'm old school. Yeah, I carry an iPhone, but I always joke. The phone is smart, but the user is dumb. Okay. Yeah. Okay, never mind. Okay. The salvation has come to the Gentile. It's not just that gospel is preached to us so that we can turn to Jesus. That means right now, the Gentile church has a role in fulfilling world evangelization. That's what it means. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, the gospel will preach to all nations. So salvation has come to Gentile. But Paul is saying that, no, don't be mistaken. Her national calling is not final. One day, she's going to turn back and God is going to restore the national calling. So Gentile church, don't hold on too tight. Let go. You're only a caretaker. Say, oh, no, calling is not the most important. Your position is the most important. That's what Paul is saying. Verse 12. Now, if there are four, okay, again, talk about her calling. If there are four, it's riches to the poor. Do you know why riches to the poor? Because the gospel has come to the Gentile. It's a mystery of God's redemptive plan. There are four, it's riches for the world, and their failure, riches for the Gentile. How much more their fullness. I'm going to explain to you what is the fullness. Okay, so that's a second thing. No, that's the first thing. The call of Israel is not the call of Israel is not irrevocable. No, what am I talking about? I get lost. Okay, the call of Israel is irrevocable. Then why I add the word not? Okay, no. Please get it right. The call of Israel is irrevocable. Okay, I kind of talk too much about the certainly not. So now I throw in a not. Okay. The second one, second part about the mystery of Israel. Second part about mystery of Israel. The Jewish people have a temporal spiritual blindness. The Jewish people has a temporal spiritual blindness. There are two reasons. One is partly preordained by God. Wow. That's why you need to go back to Romans 9. That's why there's an accusation about God. God, then you're unrighteous. You're the one who blind Israel. Then now you accuse them. Unfair, isn't it? That's why you need to understand between sovereignty, election, and personal responsibility. You know, I was telling some of our guys this. Do you know that God has a plan for you? God has a plan for you. He has it determined. you'll be there eventually. Okay? That's not the end. But your choice will make a difference. But you'll be there in the end. How do you work that out? That's why it's called a mystery. Don't get too far. Just awe by it. Worship God and say, God, I'll give my life to you. We will not fully understand this predestination versus sovereignty and choice. Okay, that's why now Paul is talking about this. Okay, the second one. The Jewish people have a temporal spiritual blindness, partly preordained by God. Turn with me to Romans 11, verse 7 to 10. There are second reason about this. Okay, one is partly preordained by God. One is they have spiritual blindness primarily because of their sin and unbelief. They rejected the Messiah, okay? Let me run through the first one first, okay? Verse 7, Romans 11, verse 7. What then? Israel have not obtained what they seek, but the elect have obtained, and the rest were blinded. Listen to verse 8. Verse 8, that's where Paul quoted Isaiah 29, verse 10. Verse 8, just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear, to this very day. And verse 9, now he quotes David, Psalm 69. Let their table become a snare and a trap and stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see and bow down their backs always. Okay. They are temporarily blind. First reason is they are partly preordained. Second is because of their sin and unbelief. That's what Romans 10 is all about. I have no time to run through it. I give you four reasons. Write down if you want to. It's in Romans 10, verse 1 to 13. Romans 10, verse 1 to 13. That's where Paul gives four reasons why Israel is blinded. Four reasons. The first one is verse 1. Romans 10, verse 1. Because they do not see the need for salvation. They do not see the need for salvation. That's precise. Sometimes some of we Gentile church reaffirm that. Oh, Jews don't need Jesus. All Jews are saved. Precisely, that's Romans 10, verse 1. If you study the verse carefully, it's not just about we praying for their salvation. We need to pray that they need to know that they need salvation. And salvation is through Jesus. No other way about it. There's no other way about it. John chapter 14. Jesus said what? I'm the way, the truth, the life. There's no two way to, you know, some people say, yeah, the Jewish have another way. Search the scripture. That's in Romans chapter 10. That's why Paul said, the remedy for their rejection is bring the gospel to them. How can they believe if no one have preached the gospel? If they confess with their mouth, and believe in their heart and call upon the name of Jesus, they shall be saved. How can they hear unless someone go? That's what it is about. Okay, no two way about it. No, don't help them. There's no easy way. There's only one way to eternity. That's through Jesus. Or use Jewish word, Hebrew, Yeshua. Okay, yeah. So, where am I? Oh yeah, first reason, they do not see the need for salvation. That's verse 1, Romans 10. Second reason, that's verse 2. Misguided zeal. Misguided zeal. You know, Paul, you know, zeal is good, but zeal without biblical understanding is not good. Okay? Second, misguided zeal. Third, that's verse 3. Verse 3, self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. Fourth, they misunderstood the law. They didn't realize that Jesus came and fulfilled the law. Okay? That's verse 4 to 13. Verse 4 to 13. So, the second essential part of the mystery of Israel, the Jewish people has a temporal spiritual blindness. Got it? The third one. Oh, I love this. Third one. All Israel will be saved. All Israel will be saved. 100%. So, when you pray for them, don't pray for 90%. Pray for 100%. Literal. Romans chapter 11, verse 26. Paul said this. Romans chapter 11, verse 26. And so, all Israel will be save. Okay, turn with me to another verse. You must get to know this verse. Not a very nice verse, but you got to get to know this verse. Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13. Again, please don't throw a chair at me. Go ahead and read this verse. You have an issue, don't talk to me. I didn't write the book of Zechariah. Okay, yeah. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7 to 9. Again, talk about all Israel will be saved, but it will be at the end and in the context of the Great Tribulation. Okay, just prior to second coming, before transition into the Millennium Kingdom. That's where God will pour His Spirit. The Jewish people's eyes will be opened. Listen to this. This is scary. I'm still asking God for understanding and wisdom. How do we pray? How do we pray? Zechariah 13, verse 8. This is the end time prophecy. They say that, I know some people believe this as fulfilled in Holocaust during World War II. It's not even near. Not even near. Because it's talking about two-thirds. Okay, listen to verse 8. Zechariah 13, verse 8. You got to know this. And don't explain away for God. He put this down. Okay. Don't explain away, but ask for understanding so that we know how to pray. Okay, don't throw a chair at me. Okay, I'm gonna read. Verse 8. It shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds it shall be cut off and die. Wow. How do you pray, man? How do you pray? Two-thirds shall be cut off and die. But one-third shall be left in it. Verse 9 says this, I bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. And I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God. The whole nation will call upon the name of Yeshua. Wow. Wow. Give you another thought, okay? Turn with me to Acts 3. Acts 3. Acts 3. Acts, never mind. Let's skip that. I have no time because then I'm going to go another 15 minutes to end because I realize it's going to be fine. I still haven't gone through Romans. We have a time, we'll come to it because this is another big one. Because Acts 3, verse 19, talk about is in the context of Israel. If you call upon the name of Jesus, Jesus will come back. Okay, this is about that. It's in the context of Jewish people get saved. Let's go to the fourth one. Turn back with me to Romans 11. Romans 11. Romans 11. Anyway, we will have question and answering time. So ask. Okay, ask all these questions. Okay. Romans, tell me Romans 11. The fourth one. The fourth one. The fullness of Israel will result in God's glory filling the earth. Okay, the third one is all Israel will be saved. The fourth one is the fullness of Israel will result in God's glory filling earth. There's a difference between all Israel will be saved and the fullness of Israel. I'll explain to you. Write this verse down. Romans 11, verse 12 to 15. Romans 11, verse 12 to 15. Let me give you four aspects of the fullness of Israel. Then I run through the verse and explain to you what it means. Okay. Four aspects of the fullness of Israel. First one is fullness of salvation. Had to be 100% saved. Fullness of salvation. Okay, that's Zechariah 13, verse 7 to 9. Zechariah 13, verse 7 to 9. Second, fullness of deliverance from all her enemies. Well, we are not even near now. I mean, nations are against Israel right now. Okay, Israel is one of the most alone nations right now. Thank God Singapore is standing with Israel. Please keep praying for Singapore that we will always stand with Israel. Because God makes it very clear. If you bless Israel, you will be blessed. If you curse Israel, you'll be cursed. Give you one thought. Why do you think America is such a great nation? All this while, America always stand with Israel. I'll give you another thought. You know, we could have stood loyal with the Arab nations. I believe God intervened. Okay, that's another huge story. I keep throwing you a story, then keep you dangling. I have no time to explain. Never mind, find a time. Okay. Yeah, there's a reason why Singapore is so unique. Because right from the beginning, we stood with Israel. Our army is trained by the Israeli. Do you know that our army was nearly being trained by the Egyptian? Yes. Whoa. And I hear some people, whoa, yeah, whoa. And then say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Then our history will be totally different. Yes. Yes. Say, are you into politics? No, this is not politics. This is scriptural. Praise God. Continue to pray for our government that we will be friendly towards Israel. No, this is not about politics. This is about God. God said very clearly, Genesis chapter 12, if you are for, you bless Israel, I will bless you. If you curse Israel, I will curse you. Wow. No, I'm not going to do anything. No, I would agree that something that Israel did is wrong. But I pray for her gently. I won't curse her. I don't want to be cursed by God. That's it, okay? First one, fullness of salvation. That's Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7 to 9. Second, fullness of deliverance from her enemy. Isaiah 26. This whole thing about Israel is amazing. If I have time, I will tell you it's a miracle that Israel even came back as a nation in 1948. They were so close to United Nations rejecting her nationhood. Only one man hold the votes. His name is called Harry S. Truman. It's a huge story because I know the niece of Harry S. Truman. She relayed the story. He actually wanted to cast a vote against. Somehow, in the last minute, God intervened. Okay, that's another story. I keep angering you there. No. I'm not trying to trick you so that you come back next week. It's just that there are so much story. The historians say that the return of Israel as a nation is one of the great miracles in the history of nations. Because there's no nation that disappeared over 40 years ever come back. Another thing is this. You know that before 19, if I can't remember exact date, before 1910 or 1920, Jewish language was never spoken anymore. It was totally lost. It came back. Never happened in the history of nations. It has to be God. You know what the book of Ezekiel is about? The book of Ezekiel primarily is about this statement. If this thing happened, then you shall know that I am God. And one of the things is, Ezekiel prophesied that the nation of Israel will return. Ezekiel 36. There is a God of heaven. His name is Yahweh. He has a son. His name is Jesus. That's what Israel is about, to prove that there is a God of heaven. That's why this whole mystery of Israel is amazing. When you understand, you know this great spiritual warfare that we are. That's why God has to raise up 24/7 house of prayer. You are dealing with very high level principalities. You are dealing with it. Because the goal of Satan is totally exterminate Jewish people. No, it's not even get them out of the land. That's Revelation chapter 12. Okay. Okay. Where am I? Fullness of Israel. Okay. Okay. Fullness of salvation. Fullness of deliverance from enemy. The third one. Fullness of cleansing and removal of her sin. Fullness of cleansing and removal from her sin. Isaiah 27 to Isaiah 59. Okay. Oh, I see so many chapters. Yeah, precisely. Can I skip one? No. Okay. Isaiah 27 to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 27 to Isaiah 59. No. You need to understand, the book of Isaiah, unfortunately, a lot of time, we don't fully understand. The book of Isaiah is primarily about what is going to happen during the millennial kingdom. Okay, so understand this. When you put that into context, then you will understand. Not clear like mud. Actually, it's very clear. Okay. Okay, so it's the third one. Fourth one about the fullness of Israel. Fullness of power and glory. No, fullness of power and glory and character. That's Isaiah 60, Isaiah 61, Isaiah 62, which I'm going to talk about it on the third Sunday. Okay, you need that. So that we pray. How do you pray for Israel? Pray Isaiah 60. Pray Isaiah 61. Pray Isaiah 62. Because that's the mandate that God has for Israel. Okay, Fifth essential part about the mystery of Israel. Can you handle it? Okay, right. Okay, do you need a break? No time. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, fifth one. The fifth essential part of the mystery of Israel. It's not that hard to understand, right? In fact, we need to understand. It's not an option. Okay, fifth one.